Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash your rock to smithereens.
No, not this rock. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour 3 here on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, wherever you may be. You have a big smile on your face, Mr. Dusty.
I do, because I love the fact that we can just text people things like, I text a fan personality during the break. Mm. How's your b-hole? And we all know who this is. We're talking about Andy Dirt Johnson here. All right. He ate 6 hot dogs over the course of the show today, which Will Ortner, I saw Big Will Betts back there because he lives here. Mm. I will hear nothing otherwise. But
he's filling in for Buck again.
He lives here. You were out when we went over this. We have a shower. We have a kitchen. We've got a couch with the TV downtown.
And there you go.
Will Ortner lives here. Yeah. Yeah. You know, nobody to keep him in check. Mm. Well, absolutely. Yeah. This is, Ortner lives here. But I sent Dirt that text and he just sent me the gif of Bridesmaids, where she says it's like lava.
It's coming out of me like lava.
It's coming out of me like lava.
Look away.
So if you're wondering how Dirt is holding up, not well.
They were wondering when he would have his next first bite of food after that.
Yeah, that's a good question.
They were guessing about noon, and he's like, no way. He's like, it might be like 2 o'clock.
I tell you what, his young son, Teddy Ballgame, is not the only one in diapers in the Johnson household right now. I think we are assured of that.
Leaves in the gutter. And the amazing thing about that, too, is that I came in and he wasn't even, no condiments or nothing. He was raw dogging those things.
Yeah.
Just Joey Chestnut style.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeesh.
All right. All right. Quick Val Kilmer fact before we get to the news of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Val Kilmer loved buffalo.
The city?
No.
Like
the animal.
Animal.
Yeah. He had a herd of bison on his ranch in New Mexico. He just loved. I love them too.
It's a majestic animal.
If I had the money to do it, I would too.
They're crazy big.
They're huge. American buffalo was even bigger.
Yeah. I've told this story before. The first time I ever saw one live is when I was driving to North Dakota the first time.
Mm.
And they literally took over the freeway.
They're huge.
There's a whole herd of them. And everyone, both directions, just stopped and watched 300.
Yeah.
By, 3,000 pound buffalo?
Yeah.
Just kind of meander across the freeway. And I was like, this thing is bigger than my car.
Yeah, he's a big buffalo guy.
Yeah.
Big buffalo guy.
Is he a spirit of the buffalo kind of guy? Was that the deal? Or just like
no,
buffalo?
Just loved him.
I get it.
I don't know. He just loved him. Just
you know, some people like an animal. And they're like, it's their spirit animal. It's, you know, or some people just like, I like giraffes. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
I love lamp.
Yeah. It's either that or there's like a real spiritual kinship kind of bordering on a little weird.
Well, yeah. I think of the method actor would probably be one that does that. Yeah.
That's cat people to me.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm sorry. What now?
Damn.
What?
All right.
How did I get caught up in this?
I'm just saying.
Nonsense.
My sister was big into cats when she was a kid and she drug my dad to cat shows.
Oh. What?
And my dad, the stories he would tell about the people at cat shows versus dog shows, there's a stark line. Stark line.
Okay.
Lot of cat print.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Not a lot of dog.
I'm sure all the people at dog shows are super normie too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, have you seen that movie? What is it? The Best in Show?
Best in Show.
I love that movie. It's so good.
Russ's like, that's a documentary. It's not a mockumentary. What are you talking about?
Well, speaking of documentaries, the documentary of the NIL world from what it was in the wild 80s into the 90s and even early 2000s with the massive boosters and the things, the lavish displays that went on display, were the touching points of NIL getting to where it is now. And obviously we're getting very close to the legal case being closed and wrapped up here in the next couple of weeks. I believe it's April 18th is when they're expected to have a final ruling on the case.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
18th.
It's somewhere 14th, around there.
It's whatever that, it's in that week.
Mm-hmm. Right around tax day.
And with that, the $20.5 million NIL expenditures afforded to each roster. Well, to me, where this is going to have the biggest impact is the basketball world, because the basketball earners are, on average, much higher because the higher scale guys are very few and far between, and the money required to get them is drastic.
Mm-hmm.
There's been stories about even a guy like Alex Caraban, who was a late first, early second round pick, came back to Connecticut. I've heard he got between $2 and $3 million to go back to UConn.
Yeah. Yeah, and that seems to be the going rate for the high-end players, is about $2 to $3 million. If you can, some rosters will be able to grab a couple of those mm-hmm. types of guys, and then depending, and that's what they're saying that could be the big benefit of the Big East, right?
Yep, they aren't spending on football.
You don't have football, but you can go up to $20.5 million. A lot of them are not,
no,
right?
And then for the biggest guys, you're like AJ DeBonce is going to BYU. There's reports of $8 million. That's the number one player in the class.
Yikes, no.
So, and you know, Cooper Flagg, I was told when it was all said and done, was closer to 10.
Yeah.
But again, number one player in class stuff is going to be a little bit different. You'll see that in football, but in football, it's usually over a couple of years, where in basketball, it's a one-year deal.
Look, in the whole thing about the $20.5 million, that's what the school can pay.
Yes.
And there is the idea that they're going to put a third party and have third party involvement that will limit the amount somebody can earn in outside NIL deals.
Yes.
That is going to get, the NCAA is going to take loss after loss after loss.
Trumped.
By saying, so you're going to say this third party is going to tell us the value of what somebody else can earn. That's BS. And there's going to be so many ways around just that $20.5 million.
And some of the biggest names in college basketball coaching are already speaking out. From St. John's, obviously the godfather himself, Rick Pitino. I think it's a flawed system before it even gets started.
Yep.
Totally flawed.
Yep.
Bill Self, I think enforcement will be very hard. Matt Painter, we have zero trust.
Well, and this is the thing. They have zero trust because even if that third party does exist and they do play by that rule and the courts do uphold that, they can say, no, this $20,000 NIL deal you have with the company is too much money. It's going to have to be brought down significantly. Here's where the zero trust comes in, is that in the SEC, and Pete Thamel and Dan Wetzel on ESPN, they have a really good article up right now where they kind of tag team to outline the bagman will be back. And this has been a conversation where in the SEC, they are licking their chops mm-hmm. at the opportunity for their, you know, covert rings of bagmen to mm-hmm. get money to recruits to activate again. Mm-hmm. They haven't had to be in the shadows for the last handful of years. They're ready to go back to the shadows and say,
they're looking for work.
Fine. You sit there and you want these kids to get more money, we can find a way to do that mm-hmm. off the books, because we did it for decades mm-hmm. in the SEC. They did it better than anybody else for decades.
Yeah, on basketball and football. And here's the thing, and this is the money quote, and this is what you and I have been talking about for the last couple of weeks, when we heard about the story about the clearinghouse, Delewite coming in and deciding what is or isn't fair value for a particular player's earning potential. And this is from Bill Self, and this thing is the hammer. This is where the legal case for it stops immediately. I actually think in theory it's good, Self said of the new system, but it's hard to imagine how someone can define fair market value, because to me, the fair market value is what a company or an organization sees that individual's worth as.
You are worth what they're willing to pay.
That is what fair market is. If one person is willing to pay you, that's fair market. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
So this whole idea of like, well, your third string or you're the third best player on your team, you know, based on our ROI is worth this. No, he's not.
Yeah.
He's worth whatever they're saying he's worth. If they want to, if a school wants to go out and spend $3 million on their number one player, but they want to spend $3.5 million on the number three player, to them it's worth it because he's not going to another school.
That's it.
There you go. Case closed. Move on, NCAA. And this is why the whole $20.5 million thing doesn't exist.
And it will have to all be collectively bargained with the athletes now. Which would make
them employees.
As part of the settlement. That's why they're trying to put this into the court case, mm-hmm. right? So it's part of the House settlement to where they will feel that it is legally binding that anybody that moves forward under these parameters understand that Deloitte will be a third party that can veto any NIL deals, right? That will still be challenged in the courts.
And it's going to get hammered.
And it may not be challenged. You may not win immediately, but if you get the next year, a high school senior goes and gets recruited, then it's like, well, hey, this isn't what I signed up for. And there's no other avenue for them to go. And that's the other part about this. There's nowhere else for these athletes to go anymore. No. The G League has shut up the shop on the Ignite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The college football, you have nowhere to go.
No.
And so they're going to say, Their options are limited.
You're putting limited potential on their earnings. Good God.
They have the ability to make money here, and you're going to tell them no? No, it's un-American, too.
No.
So this is going to be another series of losses for the NCAA. And look, if you want to know how they all feel about it, and this is going to be the next step to breaking off, having your haves and have-nots, and drawing that line in the sand. Did you see what Mike Gundy said, Oklahoma State football coach? This was on in response to the Colorado-Syracuse having a joint practice together. He said, the NCAA said, no, you guys can't do that. Gundy's response is, I'm not sure how they have the grounds to say you can't do it. Like, if somebody just goes and does it, what are they going to do?
This is my whole thing with the Michigan thing. Remember, I was like, somebody's just going to give the bird to the NCAA.
Yeah.
And now they're all just collectively doing it.
Yeah, and
there's nothing. They have no legal standing to base anything off of.
No doubt.
It was always a scare tactic. It was 50 years of scare tactics.
Yep.
That's what it was.
And it ain't going
to
work anymore.
And now everybody's come together and been like, we don't need you.
It's going to be a no for me, dog.
So, all right, coming next, it's Wednesday. It's 2:15-ish. Right on the clock, as always. Time for Fact or Fluke, some things we were going to discuss, whether they're facts or flukes, and the impacts of them going forward. Danny Dusty, 10 in the Fan. All right, it's Wednesday. It's 2:15-ish. We're right on time as always, Jeff Rust.
Break.
There we go. Which means it's time for Fact or Fluke, some questions we have, and we decide whether they are facts or flukes. Leading us off, last night you had two of the most masterful individual performances of the season from two of the biggest stars of the last 8 to 10 years in Steph Curry and Nikola Jokic. Even with the caveat of March or April basketball. And I think there is a fine delineation between what good teams do and what bad teams do.
Yeah.
Do you think big time performances from MVP caliber players leading into the playoffs actually matter? Fact or fluke?
Oh, geez. I think it's fact because it's the momentum building up. And right now, for a lot of teams, you could just throw it out. But for playoff and contending teams, it's role sorting, right? And when you have your stars go off in games at this point in the year, you figure out the other roles. Last night we saw Russell Westbrook, not a guy that you should have the ball in his hands late in the game.
Oh, my God.
Not a
one-man five-point swing.
That was bonkers.
And then for those that are unaware, the Timberwolves end up beating the Nuggets 140-139 in double overtime. And when the performances we're talking about, Nikola Jokic had a 61-point triple-double.
And with 17 seconds to go, the Nuggets had a 2-point lead. And Westbrook gets a fast break, and he goes for a layup. with like 15 to go. And instead, he could have just like held the ball, backed it out, went into the around the perimeter, mm-hmm. and they could have killed a bunch of time. He went for the layup, blew the layup. Here come the Timberwolves, and then he fouled a three-point shot as time expired. They lost the game.
Unbelievable. The other obscene performance from Steph Curry last night. Steph Curry for the Warriors, and actually a contentious game with the Grizzlies, 134-125. Steph went 52 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, sheesh. Hit 12 threes. Sheesh. I'm with you. It's fact. You want your best players playing their best basketball in the final 2 weeks of the regular season as the massive tune-up for the playoffs begins.
Factor Fluke, Val Kilmer, best supporting actor of all time.
I'm going to say yes. Three roles.
Okay.
Iceman, Top Gun, mm-hmm. Doc Holliday mm-hmm. in Tombstone, and Heat as your demo guy. I yep. mean, I can't think of any actor who had three more lasting or impactful supporting actor roles than those.
I have one, and I'll go Fluke just because this list is incredible.
Yeah.
Right? When you think of these guys, and you have to like sit there and actually think about it. First guy that popped in my mind, though, Joe Pesci. Ooh, Tommy DeVito in Goodfellas.
God.
Okay. You have also, he's in Goodfellas, mm-hmm. Casino, and then obviously Home Alone. Think about the
cultural zeitgeist. Yeah.
Or you could put him in as Joey in Raging Bull, too, as one of his. So you could go Goodfellas, Raging Bull, Home Alone. Those three from Pesci are really good. Christoph Waltz, right?
Ooh,
you think of him yeah. as like the bad guy in Inglourious Basterds, and Django Unchained. Like he's got a ton to his name too. That you go, but Kilmer is like, and then Samuel L. Jackson too, right? Sam Jackson yeah. is in so many things and stars in very little. But here's my qualifier. Do you consider him the star of Pulp Fiction? Because if you take Pulp Fiction out of it, his supporting roles are kind of, all right, he's just a guy in them.
As opposed to Jules.
If yeah. Jules would take it over the top.
See, here's my pushback and why I've got Val. Doc Holliday is the best supporting actor I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's the I can't think of a supporting actor more quotable, more yeah. revered. Like, if you don't good. Like Val Kilmer's Doc Holliday, you're an insane person.
You got something wrong with you.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
I mean, that, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yep.
He wasn't a daisy at all. I mean, yeah. just...
But I don't know why. Yeah, just he had so many. And
he's
and
an
even
educated man. Now I really hate him.
Spinning the shot glass like it was a gun.
That was a total
improv.
Improv too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. that's a banger, man.
And yeah, you have.
If
that.
If you got it, fan text line. Let us know if there's if you could think of a singular better supporting role
ooh.
Than Val Kilmer's Doc Holliday.
I have two guns. One for each of you.
Mwah!
Philip Seymour Hoffman was pretty good in supporting roles, too.
Oh.
In incredible movies.
Yeah.
Was it Sandy Lyle?
Sandy Lyle. Yeah. Along Came Polly.
Rain Dance!
He's a guy when you look up his IMDb and you go, oh my God, he was in that?
Yeah.
I still, one scene from that movie, too, that gets me every single was, time and I laugh out loud is the second he stepped onto the dance floor and just goes down like a sack of rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. He was also Brant in Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm.
Tara Reid.
Boogie Nights.
Yeah. He's got a lot. But for the quality, Val's up there, man, for sure.
NFL edition here. Negotiating in the open is the only way these guys are gonna get deals done. Both Micah Parsons yesterday with the David Mulugeta. Did you catch Trey Hendrickson on McAfee this morning?
Yeah.
Boy, yeah. Did he unload the barrels.
Well, it's because of the... At the owners' meetings, you have Katie Blackburn, executive for the Bengals.
Just saying the dumbest possible thing.
She said, I think he should be happy at certain rates that maybe he doesn't think he'd be happy at. I think some of it's on him to be happy at some point. And if he's not, you know... That's what holds it up sometimes. So, you know, it takes him to say yes to something. And also, we have all the respect in the world from him. It doesn't sound like you did with the beginning of those comments, Katie.
And on top of that, Trey Hendrickson's like, yeah, they haven't talked to us in over a month.
No.
My cell phone number is the same as it was in high school. Give us a call.
I think fiction on this because of the fact that the good teams find a way to make it work. Negotiating in the open with a bad team?
Yeah.
Well, a dysfunctional again, organization?
Cowboys and Bengals.
Yep.
That's for me, I'm going to say it's a fact for these particular guys.
Yep. Yep. All right, last one we have here. Has this season been successful for the Portland Trail Blazers?
I'm going to say it's a fact, and it's in the eye of the beholder. The biggest question that they wanted this season wasn't about wins or losses or even ping pong balls. It was data collection on their young guys. I think they've got it.
Yep. I think it's fiction. I think it's fiction because they are in a position right now with history telling us the offseason won't be the place that they make the move to land a star. They have nullified the opportunity for them to land a star. I reserve the right to change my tune on May 12th when they jump 9-10 spots to number one.
And that's what we're going to dive into next. We'll parse this apart because it really is. It's an eye of the beholder situation. Yep. Has this Trailblazer season been a success? We'll get to that next here. But first, it's the Big Kahuna, the Sports Center update. Oh, the question as the season comes to a close for the Portland Trailblazers here over the next couple of weeks is, has this season been a successful one for the Trailblazers? And it really, to me, and this isn't an excuse, I really think it is in the eye of the beholder, depending on how you want to qualify it. If you are in the you wanted to see the young guys develop, it has been a successful season. It's been beyond a successful season, in my opinion. If you are in a ping pong ball or die situation, it has not been successful. If you are in the I want a better product on the floor situation, which I think there's a large swath of fans and just like general Blazers fans that feel that way, it's probably been pretty good for you. But it really is. It depends on which camp you fall in.
I think that most Blazer fans, though, are in the camp of they want a star, because whatever they have right now, and you're right in that the development, undeniable, it has been successful when you look at the strides the young guys have taken from Denny Avdia to Monty Kamara, Shaedon Sharpe, Donovan Clingan. Those guys have turned into completely different players, and it has been successful in their development. That is true. But this franchise is capped, and they know it. We all know it. Yeah. We talked about this before the season. Mm-hmm. There is no way that they can break through unless they upgrade their talent to get a star player. And they don't have one.
Nope. Not the superstar, no.
And if you look at how you can better your chances of doing that, they did not do that. Because they've won too many games and they have put a better product on the floor. They have developed players. But if you're not hitting the ultimate goal, which is making moves to win a championship, then it's a failure in that regard. Now, they could very well still win the lottery. Absolutely.
Or get in the top four.
But getting into the top four, like, we've seen a lot of the shine has come off a lot of these guys.
Oh, sure.
Right?
And you can always do like a, well, you know, the talking to decision makers around the NBA, the one thing they always say is, yeah, it's great to pick one. And they'll all agree with you. But the thing they will all tell you is you have to nail the pick wherever you're at.
And they did nail the Donovan Clingan pick. They were at seven. They got a very solid player.
Yeah. I mean,
very solid.
How many guys are beyond him or better? You can make the argument for Jared McCain, who probably would have won Rookie of the Year had he not gotten hurt. But is Jared McCain playing on this team? You add another guard to that mix, and no, that didn't make sense. Beyond that, yeah, I think they made the right pick. Everybody basically saved Cody Williams, I was a Cody Williams guy. He has had a rough, and again, I always called him a two-year project guy, but even then, he has had a rough season for the Jazz.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is. So, look, the cards on the table, and I said this earlier in the show, the Blazers did not expect to win that many games this year. Like, it was very clear that they did not. Look, the 40-point loss to the Jazz notwithstanding, they didn't think they were that team, but they figured 23, 24 wins. Like, that's – even if you shut those guys – even if you shut veterans down and the young guys play, the development that they got, they weren't going to be in the bottom four or five. They were just better than what they thought.
And that's not like, and this is where I think the pivot to, you're correct on that, because there are teams that just went, nope, we're opting out of this season.
To start.
But they had a chance, and they've had ample opportunity. They have an ample opportunity to go down and mm-hmm. put themselves in a far better chance to jump mm-hmm. up in the lottery.
Yep.
And it's undeniable they did not, they have not done that, and they have not been committed to that.
They said it. I mean, Joe Cronin said it in the press conference. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take this opportunity away from them, and that opportunity being the play-in. And look, I disagree.
The way that changes is if they already have a deal in place that allows them to make a blockbuster trade this mm-hmm. offseason, right? And who knows what that looks like? We go get KD, right? Go get Jeremy Grant or Robert Williams and the first round pick. Get KD and then one of your other first round picks that you have down the road. Go do it, right?
Well, the Spurs are rumored to be interested in KD.
Oh, boy. Or, you know, looking at some of the other players that have been rumored to be available in teams that the Blazers have dealt with, right? In the past, whether that is a team like Orlando or... You know, again, you bring up Phoenix, mm-hmm. Washington, which I don't know if there's anything that they have to offer. Toronto, which is seemingly wanting to unload guys, but what do they have to mm-hmm. offer? Like, a lot of the teams that the Blazers have dealt with in the recent past.
Pelicans.
There's not much for them to offer.
No.
Yeah. Do you want Zion? You know, like, it's going to be really tough to make that move and to see if they can get over the hump.
And I've said this before, the clock isn't ticking on them yet because they don't have the star.
Yeah.
But if the can gets kicked and kicked and kicked with this group of guys, it starts to look like maybe a better version of the pre-KD Kyrie Nets, where you're pesky, you're good, but where are you getting to? And that ultimately becomes the problem.
Yeah. Right now, the Blazers have the complete opposite problem that they had when they had their star.
They have everything else.
They have every role player you could imagine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Dame has been blunt. He said he's told me he would have loved to play with this team. It was like built ideally for a guy like him to just step into. Him and a bunch of wings and huge dudes? Yeah. Yeah. You take prime Damian Lillard with this team? Are they a title team? No. They're probably one player away.
And you have an opportunity. They played what they had, fell face first into a Western Conference Finals, but you would be in that mix to mm-hmm. be in that conversation. You're not a title team, but if things break your way,
which is
you're
the
positioned
NBA.
A lot better. Not things break your way, you do win one. You're positioned a lot better.
That
right there should be the mentality that every Blazer fan has.
Perfect example is Memphis Grizzlies. Remember, they were the number 2 seed, and we're not afraid about anybody else in the West. Look at them now.
Yeah. This is every team. Blazer fans should think of the Blazers as a majority of college football teams think of their team and should, which is we are not a national title contending team.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of about 10 programs in college football, it is we don't every year we're not in the mix. But if things break our way and we have a special season, every 4 or 5 years, we have one of those runs.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be positioned to where if the S hits the fan, we're ready for it.
Yep.
And that is success. That should be seen as success.
There's only one title winner each year.
But where they're at right now,
they're not in that zone.
They're sitting in they're going to sit in mediocrity if things are the way they are.
If they stay in that spot. Yep. All right. Coming up next, breaking news that is the least breaking Ooh. News of all time. We'll wrap up today.
I got one.
Oh.
Val Kilmer turned down Apollo 13. He could have played Kevin Bacon's role in Apollo 13.
That's probably the first one I've been like, nah, that was a good one to turn down. Bacon was great there.
Really?
I don't get me wrong. I don't think Val would have been bad there, but I thought the bacon was good.
Dang.
So, all right. Like I said, well, breaking news that is the least breaking news of all time. Next on Danny and Dusty, Tonight the Fan.
It's time for Legends of Hoop, an inside look at the college basketball championships. Brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel, within winning distance.
Jani Broome played like the National Player of the Year in the biggest moment on the biggest stage. And, of course, when he gets hurt with 10 minutes left to go, he comes back with five, bangs the big three.
Bruce Pearl there talking about Jani Broome and everything that he means to that team, coming back in and finishing that game for Auburn and leading them to the Final Four. I mean, that's what March is all about, man.
It is, and right now all eyes are on Jani Broome and how healthy he's going to be, because the Florida Gators could be seeing themselves playing for a national title if he is not anywhere close to being 100%.
Legends of Hoop is brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel. Escape to Legends Casino Hotel within winning distance. Just a short drive to Toppenich, Washington. The ultimate destination for fun and relaxation, legendscasino.com. Well, as we wrap up today's show, the least breaking news of breaking news history, Joel Embiid will indeed undergo surgery to his left knee.
What? No way. That's crazy. What has taken them so long? Do they just not want him to be available at the beginning of next season?
I don't get it. Like, why? Like, I know you have to exhaust all the options.
Why?
But this should have been done 5 months ago.
Yeah, probably. Or at least when you shut him down this year. When you officially shut him down in, what was that, January?
Yeah.
Well, just, if this was
you
within
a month.
You
knew coming off the Olympics what this was. The flap, remember, like everything. It's just, it's so dumb, man. And look, I hate it because I love Joel Embiid as a player.
Yeah.
I love watching him.
He's so good.
It's just.
That sucks. All right, Joel Embiid.
R.I.P.
Ah, for surgery. Okay, I have one last Val Kilmer fact.
Hit me.
At the end of his documentary, Val, and this is in his obituary in the AP, I think this is a really good quote. He said at the end of that documentary, "I've behaved poorly, I've behaved bravely, I've behaved bizarrely to some. I deny none of this and have no regrets because I've lost and found parts to myself that I never knew existed, and I'm blessed." I mean, that's a great way to live.
Yeah.
No regrets. He knows he had his faults. R.I.P. Val Kilmer.
Indeed.
The Doc Holliday.
The GOAT.
Yes, yes.
I'm your Huckleberry.
That'll do it for us today. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you Thursday from noon to three right here on The Fan.
Bye.
What the hell are you doing this for anyway?
Wad up is my friend. Hell, I got lots of friends. I don't.